1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31b to chapter 13, verse 13, striving for the most exalted ministry of love. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to believers as he wills, so that every believer has no choice but to accept and to use the gift that God assigns him, be it a more honored or a less honored gift. Remember, there are more honored gifts like apostleship, prophecy, teaching, and so forth, and the less honored ones are speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, that kind of a thing. However, there is a more excellent way of ministry than focusing on one spiritual gift for ministry, a way that is open to every believer, man or woman, regardless of your spiritual gift or the level of it. Every believer, as clarified in 1 Corinthians 13:1-13, and we view it for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. I'm starting at verse 31 of chapter 12, the last part of that verse. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. When I was a child, we had to memorize that chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Handling the subject of spiritual gifts in general in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1-31a, at 1 Corinthians 12, 31b, Paul informed his readers that there was the most excellent way of ministry that was greater than such gifts. And I just love going through this chapter because this is a chapter that tells us how every person here, or any person in the church, if you want to excel from God's perspective more than focusing on the gift that you have, if you really want to please God, this door is open to you, and here's the way. 1 Corinthians 3, 13, 1-3, Paul identified that excellent way as the path of godly Christian love. And he explains it. If one were to speak with the gift of human tongues, or even if it were possible that of angels, but to do so without love, he would be a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal that achieves nothing. A gong that makes a lot of noise, or a cymbal that makes a lot of noise. So if we speak with tongues, if we had the gift of speaking in tongues, but we did it without love, our ministry is no more valuable than just taking a cymbal and clanging it. Very interesting. If one had the gift of prophecy to know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if he had faith so great that it could move mountains, but he lacked love, it would be nothing in God's estimation. It'd be a big zero. Paul added that were he to give all of his possessions to the poor and donate even his body, to boast of his gift in donating the body, but without love, he would be nothing in God's eyes. Now you'll notice that I said donating his body rather than his body to be burned. There's a textual variation here, and I want to discuss it. The older and higher quality Greek New Testament manuscripts read hina kachesomai, okay, that I may glory, while the many lesser quality ones read hina kathesomai, kachesomai versus kathesomai. change of one letter, that I should be burned. That's the reading that many English translations have. In addition, the that I should be burned reading contains a future subjunctive verb in the Greek, which is a grammatical monstrosity that cannot be attributed to Paul. That tense of the verb was never used in the New Testament elsewhere. It wasn't used until many years later as the Greek language kept evolving. So it's highly unlikely that Paul wrote that my body would be burned. Also, the that I may glory reading mentions boasting in a positive sense. And guess what? Paul does that elsewhere in the same epistle. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, therefore contextually arguing for favoring this reading. Now, let me just get that verse for you. Paul mentions boasting in a positive sense. 1 Corinthians 9:15. But I have used none of these things, neither have written these things, that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying or my boasting void. So boasting can be seen in a positive sense. And we believe that Paul could have used it here. Also, it's also true that Christians, to the best of our knowledge, were not martyred to death by being burned at the stake this early in church history. That occurred much later. You look at like Joan of Arc and so forth, Middle Ages and whatnot. But at this particular time, they didn't put people to death that way. So it's highly unlikely that Paul would have mentioned giving his body to be burned as a martyr. What he's meaning is, if I give all my goods to the poor, and if I could even give my body, if that were possible. In other words, if I gave absolutely everything, but I didn't have love, it would profit me nothing. So, in clear conscience, I have to go with that I may glory reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13, verse 3. Then, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, Paul defined what this ministry of love entails in the local church. Now, I mentioned it in two sections. I said negatively and positively. There's a mistake there, because the first two in the negative section are actually positive, so I'm going to save them. I'm going to go back and correct this lesson before I and send it to my son-in-law, who puts it on the internet properly. So, but say negatively, let me start with not envious. Love is not envious. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs done against oneself, and it does not rejoice in evil. What's interesting, all these characteristics are characteristics that Paul the Apostle himself was demonstrating to these Corinthians. The Corinthians weren't, but he was. Positively, love rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. That means it always trusts one's credibility until proven otherwise. It always hopes. That would mean hopes for the best. And it always perseveres amid hardships. Those are characteristics of love. Now, that's interesting. A lot of times Christians will define love as the touchy-feely, or the feeling good, or emotionally warm feelings towards people. But that's not the word love that Paul's thinking about. The word love here is agapao. It's the word that is used in John 3:16. God so agapao the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's something that perseveres. It's something that is long-lasting. It always protects and so forth. That's a different concept of love than what a lot of people think. Now, this ministry of love is so great that it will last eternally, though all the spiritual gifts will have vanished for their lapse of usefulness in eternity. Think of it. When we get to heaven, I will no longer have a pastor-teacher gift. Isn't that something? And you will not have your gift, your spiritual gift either. Why? Because spiritual gifts are needed for a church that is yet to mature. Once we're with the Lord and perfection has arrived, the gifts are done away. It's like you go down to the nursery. Some of the toys down there were toys that we used for our children. But my children are adults now, and Joanne is coming to our church. And if she were to go down there and we were to ask her, Joanne, do you feel like you need to play with us again? She would say, Dad, you know, I'm a woman. I'm a mother, for goodness sake. I don't want to play with that. Remember that horse there with the wheels on it? She rode it. Connie rode it. Greg rode it. They all rode it. But you couldn't get them on it now. maybe for a couple hundred dollars, Greg would get on it, you know. But the others wouldn't. Okay. But that's what these gifts will be. When we get to glory, we won't need these gifts because we'll be complete in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. It's an amazing thing. Paul claimed that love never fails. It will never come to an end. That's the word fail is used, the sense that it's used. However, the opposite is true of spiritual gifts. For gifts like prophecies, speaking in tongues, knowledge will fail. They'll cease, they'll vanish when the perfect state of eternity has come. For the spiritual gifts are given to minister to people in the imperfect state for their edification. However, when the perfect state arrives, there will be no more need for these spiritual gifts. And Paul explained this truth further with several illustrations. When he was a child, Paul wrote that he spoke. He understood like a child. But when he became a mature man, he put away these childish things, much like the toys that we were talking about in the nursery. We put them away. Similarly, he noted that we now see through a reflective glass dimly. In those days, they didn't have glass like we have where you can actually see your actual face in it. What they had was brass or bronze. And so you could see a reflection, but you couldn't see clearly, like face to face. So he said, we're looking at one of these bronze mirrors that the ladies like to look at, but someday we're going to see face to face. It's going to be absolutely clear in the eternal state. Now we know in part, but then shall we know, even as we are also known. The things that we know now are very limited. When we get to glory, all of us will know a whole lot more than any one of us here in this room. Whole lot more. It'll be clear. Everything will be crystal clear. In fact, though we Christians experience faith in the unseen God and hope in his coming deliverance from this present world, we also have love. And love will last forever, where faith and hope will terminate when our faith and hope are fulfilled in being in God's visible presence. Isn't that something? We have faith because we're looking to God, the unseen God. We have hope because we're looking forward to the day when we will see him. We also have love for God. When we get to heaven, faith will be past, hope will be past, because faith will be made sight. The only thing that we'll take with us and have with us in eternity is the love that we have now, the love for God and also love for fellow Christians. This is why love is so incredibly important, and this is why the ministry of love is so absolutely important. It's more important than any of the gifts and all of the gifts put together. So if you want to focus on a tremendous ministry, think of the ministry of love. Far surpassing the ministry of spiritual gifts that God has given for the edification of believers in the imperfect state is the ministry of love that not only makes the ministry of spiritual gifts worth anything to anyone, but that follows us into the perfect state when all spiritual gifts have vanished. Any believer, by relying on the Holy Spirit, can achieve this ministry of love. So we ought to be motivated to make it our chief focus of ministry. May we minister in love then while using our spiritual gifts, that we might be truly effective in God's eyes. I was really touched when we were going through our study of the book of Revelation about the appearance of God the Father. God the Father is seen on the throne, getting ready for the great tribulation period that is coming. There's a rainbow around the throne of green. Green is the color of rest. It's the most restful color to the human eye. And it demonstrates that as God's getting ready to judge, he's going to remember mercy. And there's a passage, I think it's in Habakkuk, in wrath, remember mercy. And that's what God's going to do. But it's interesting, the color of God's, the body by which he appears. The body by which he appears is of two colors, and they represent two of the precious gems that were on the breast piece of the high priest. One represents the color of Reuben, which is the oldest son of Jacob. The other one represents Benjamin, which is the youngest, and it stands for all the others. And so God has chosen in the book of Revelation to present his very body as representing Israel. His love for Israel has never quenched. And God is anxiously looking forward to the day when the nation Israel will be saved. The people who have come through the tribulation, two-thirds of them will die in it, yes, but there's going to be a remnant will be saved. And God has never given up on his covenant to Abraham, and his love for the Jewish people is through the roof, to the point where even identifies with their precious stones in how his whole body is appearing. I think when we get to heaven, I know this, when we get to heaven, the thing that we're going to be impressed with most about God is his love. We're going to be in the presence of a being who's infinite, but his love is enormous. And that's the focus that he wants us to have. And that's what he wants us to. It's very important that we exercise this Christian love towards one another. That's the ministry that God wants. If our entire body at Nepog Church makes this its forte, not so much focusing on the gifts themselves, yes, God wants us to use the gifts, but makes the forte Christian love, as presented here in 1 Corinthians 13, it will be something that is completely pleasing to the Lord, and it would be honor to him, and also it would be a tremendous blessing. And the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That will produce the greatest testimony that we have to the unsaved community, the love of Christians to one another. So if I can leave you with this, if you want to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, it's a tremendous chapter. It's a wonderful chapter, but this is the ministry, and it's open to everybody. Anybody can go with this ministry, and I highly recommend it.